Browsing through the 19th century American paintings in the Indiana University Art Museum collection, you may notice that many of them were donated by the same person. That same name comes up at the Lilly Library and the Wiley House Museum as well. It turns out that collector Morton C. Bradley was also an artist who left his entire collection to IU. As Artworks IO Cassandra discovered, Bradley's treasures are hidden all around us, in plain view.
When it's time to get to class, there's not always a lot of time to stop and smell the roses.
Have you ever noticed the sculpture up there?
I have not, no. But I'm not a grad student. I just come over here for like a class every once a week or so.
How about you? Have you ever noticed this?
No, I have not.
Okay. We're on the third floor of Indiana University's Graduate Business Building, a glistening marvel in limestone and glass, looking up at a number of multicolored abstract sculptures suspended from the skylight.
Have you ever noticed the sculpture up there?
Yeah, actually, I did the other day, probably last week. It was the first time ever, so.
Yeah, do you know the name of the artist?
No, I'm not sure. They're cool, I don't know.
When you learn what we're looking at, it may not help much.
This one right here is a constellation of stellated dodecahedron.
Come again?
I believe it's a platonic solid with 20 faces.
Liska Radici works in the office of the curator of campus art and is the project coordinator of this and other installations of sculptures by Morton C. Bradley, who, as it turns out, had deep ancestral ties to Indiana University.
Mr. Bradley's great-grandfather was Theophilus Wiley, in a day when Theophilus was a first name, so that's been a while.
Sherry Rouse is the curator of campus art for Indiana University.
He taught school here at Indiana University in the 1880s and 90s, around the turn of the century. Mr. Bradley's mother grew up in the Wiley House. The Wiley House was first built and lived in by Andrew Wiley, who was the first president of Indiana University. Theophilus Wiley was his cousin, and he eventually bought that house.
Morton Bradley's parents, after both being educated at IU, went on to teach on the East Coast.
And he ended up going to Harvard. So he never really spent much time at all in Indiana. However, he was close to his mother, and she always had ties to Indiana and to Bloomington. In that regard, he left his entire estate to Indiana University.
Well, I knew Mr. Bradley the minute I started working in the art museum, which goes back to 1972.
Heidi Gelt is the director of the IU Art Museum.
He'd been giving us works of art all along. He was a paintings conservator who also collected. And what he collected tended, at the time that he was collecting it, to be not so well recognized. Mostly New England landscapes, artists active in New England, primarily in the 19th century. But he always came up with some startling gems. So, for example, the most important painting by Jose Velasco, who is the most important Mexican painter of the 19th century.
In addition to the paintings and drawings he left to the museum and an endowment to support conservation, Bradley left artifacts and papers to the Lilly Library and the Wiley House Museum. And then there was the gift of his own art, those multicolored geometric sculptures made of wood, metal, paper, and plexiglass we admired over in the business school.
Mr. Bradley died at the age of 94 in 2004, and he was working right up until the time he died. So he was effectively busy all his life from the early 70s on in making these sculptures. And he had them all. Indiana University inherited every single thing that was in the houses. And so we have over 300 of these.
One of the interesting things was that apparently Mr. Bradley didn't ever want to sell any of his work. He exhibited just a little bit of it.
Alan Edmonds is a professor in the IU Department of Mathematics.
He wanted to keep it all together through his career as a kind of a totality. If you would look at some of his oldest works, you would see the later ones are much more sophisticated and interesting.
Edmonds' appreciation of Bradley's work is informed by his own discipline.
The mathematical sources of all of these sculptures go back thousands of years, what are called the Platonic solids. Everybody's probably seen the tetrahedron and the octahedron and the dodecahedron that people make desk calendars out of. That's the starting point for Bradley's work. I would call these fantastical variations on themes of Pythagoras, perhaps.
Others have compared them to snowflakes, to flowers, to butterflies.
Is there any evidence that he based his sculptures on natural forms?
Well, I have to think that mathematical forms are natural forms.
He thought intuitively, mathematically.
Heidi Gelt.
And he thought intuitively, theoretically. He responded inherently to the beauty of nature. So I would say 90% of what he collected was landscapes. And I suppose on the most profound level, if you're thinking about where the laws of nature come from, they come from some deep mystical place, and mathematicians seem to find profound laws of mathematics existing in that world too.
People don't realize how much beauty and art are relevant internally to mathematics as well.
Alan Edmonds.
So it's a nice chance to branch out and communicate with other people about these things.
The intersection of disciplines that occurs at the site of Morton Bradley's work inspired a roundtable discussion at the IU Art Museum recently, attended by mathematicians, computer and cognitive scientists, artists, and art historians from around the country. The event was one part of a larger effort to carve out a position for this enigmatic, private figure within the history of art and ideas.
He was a true original in the sense that he just followed his own path. He had no need, for whatever reason, to feel that he had to justify what he was doing to anyone.
But operating at such a remove from the art world was not without its penalties. Bradley's work is not well known beyond Bloomington. So, as Sherry Rouse explained,
one of our big jobs now is to disseminate the sculptures. We'd like to put them in some large institutions where they would get some big play, not just have a mall in the state of Indiana. We think that's probably not doing justice to this artwork. So we're actively looking for museums to use this work and to develop programming on it.
In addition, an art historical study that restores Bradley to his rightful place within the scope of 20th century art is in the works. In the meantime, if you're in Bloomington, you can amble over to the business school or the law library and gaze up at these ethereal, dangling stars before they've been thoroughly rediscovered.
Well, they brighten up the day when I come in. Sometimes I look at it. I like the geometrical shapes and the color.
For WFIU's Artworks, I'm Yael Cassander.
Morton C. Bradley's sculptures are installed in the Wells Library, the School of Law Library, and on the third floor of the Kelly School of Business Godfrey Graduate and Executive Education Center. You may link to photographs of the installations on campus from our website, wfiu.org.